I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has 2 limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Fuck off, you fucking prick. It's only gone and come home. Welcome to the Football Ramblers, Monday, 1st of August. I am Pete Donaldson.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Jill Scott.
Easy. This time last year, we were laughing at Charlie Kane's office motorbike. And now look at us. We're celebrating an England Euros win at Wembley.
Can I just say, I am spending some time, and I recommend all our listeners do the same, carve it out each week to still laugh at Charlie McKay.
That's
Charlie
fair. Okay, yeah. Fair dues.
You know the meme of the dominoes where the man's setting up the little domino and then there's a big domino? Big
yes.
Dominoes of the
Euros win, yeah.
And the small dominoes of the photographer going, yeah, just smile again for that one, Charlie.
If Charlie Kane revs his motorbike in South London,
yeah.
Do the England women win the Euros in North London a year later?
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Well, before we get to the Euros win, it is a new season and a brand new Ramble. The Ramble is back every single Monday and the preview show every single Friday. But it's all changed for the rest of the week, people. Our European football show on the continent is back every Thursday with Dotton and Andy on this feed. Then on Tuesday and Wednesday, we bring you a rotation of shows. We've got Football Ramble Guide 2s, Ramble Reacts straight after the final whistle of the biggest midweek games, bonus Ramble episodes at the match, and a brand new interview series with Kate Mason. Football Ramble Presents is now all about women's football, baby. We chose a very good time for it, I think it's fair to say. You'll now notice that it's changed its name to Upfront, and that it's now the only destination you need for women's football. And if you want a taste of what you're going to be expecting for the rest of the season, or the start of the season, when it kicks off in September, Flo from Upfront was fantastic last night on Wembley Way. They were just hanging out outside. They sounded like they were indoors, but they were just outside. Pinch yourself, you're not dreaming, she said. It fucking happened. Which is a beautiful sentence for the ages there.
If you're wondering what you're going to receive on Upfront for the rest of the season, tune in now over there for Chloe Morgan being quite pissed.
She was drunk but buzzing, I think is fair.
That's acceptable. It's acceptable.
She had work on. Yeah. She was busy.
There was a point when I was listening to that episode where I know they weren't there. I know this. I know recording and getting out afterwards. I know how that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still had the compulsion to be like, shall I deliver you some cans? Are they still there?
They were having a
great
time.
If Deliveroo knew what they were about, they'd have sponsored that. Yeah. Absolutely.
But at this point in Monday's show, we'd probably talk about the highlights of the weekend. But the highlight of the weekend is obviously the England women's team beating Germany after extra time in front of a capacity crowd at Wembley. Finally winning a major tournament for the first time in 56 years. Amazing stuff. Iconic celebrations at full time, Luke.
I really just wanted to be in their gang.
Yeah.
I was sitting there thinking, they're having, like sometimes you're on a train and you hear loads of people on the train having fun. And if they seem like dickheads, you're like, oh, keep it down.
Yeah.
But if they seem like they're having a lot of fun, you go, I quite want to be involved. I felt like that times a billion in this. They like having such a good time. And it was an incredible game, an incredible result. It was brilliant. Absolutely pumped.
And it was so refreshing to sort of hear people expressing themselves after a football match with no tired PR platitude, no footballers kind of with their hands over their mouths having conversations with each other. It was just raw emotions, singing. Mm-hmm. And what a speech from Williamson. I think
she's
just
a legend.
So good.
She's just an absolute queen. It was brilliant.
Yeah. You're right, Pete, that sense that you really saw their real personalities.
Yeah.
Just that pure release of emotion with Chloe Kelly in particular, where she's just singing Sweet Caroline rather than being interviewed. Just couldn't help herself.
She went off with the mic.
Ran off with the microphone. It's the purity of that.
And Serena Wiegmann's true mastery of tactics is essentially at the right moment sending on a super experienced player who's really actually quite hard just to scream swear words in the opposite team's faces to intimidate him, which genuinely actually worked.
Yeah.
And what a moment for her as well, having been in the final, 13 years ago?
They
lost heavily as well. Yeah. And I mean, Alex Scott was saying in the sort of commentary or in the punditry that when England played Germany in the past, they just knew that they were going to get beaten because the standards in the game were so, so different. And to see that levelled out and for Jill Scott to still be there, be a part of it, and to top that off and actually like finish that journey off is so great.
One of my favourite things about, you kind of touched on it there, Jim, about like whenever you're a fan of football in this country, and obviously it's predominantly a male domain, you know, you there's always a level of buy-in you can have. You can only be as in depth with it as you're allowed to be. And, you know, we've seen with women's football over the past, like, you know, obviously the ban in 50 years, but even just the way that women talk about football in pubs and get random knobhead blokes reacting in certain ways.
Yeah.
And this, like the last month, they've basically just created their own borough within football.
Yeah.
Their own space where it's like, actually, no, we're going to have a lot of fun here. And genuinely, it doesn't matter what you say out there because it, as Luke said, it looked like the most fun. Mm. And it was also like, they've been creating it for a while. And I think this is the first time that a lot of people have seen, I suppose, the full scope of it. And maybe some people who have always been fans of women's football haven't totally been aware of it, but it feels like a bit of a cultural awakening as well.
Oh, massively, yeah. So I think, I mean, I've seen quite a few women who've started watching out of curiosity and then found that actually I kind of really like this sport, but they've never really felt welcome before because the culture around it, as you say, is so male. There are so many barriers to it, and there are a lot of, you know, stereotypes about football fans that aren't necessarily fair, but there are some aspects of it that aren't welcoming and that are very, very male. And it's been really interesting to see people.
A lot of bits that are fair as well.
Very much so, absolutely. But it's really interesting to see people go, oh, actually, maybe it isn't the sport that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's
a key point, because you look at the crowd in that game yesterday and it's basically full of families.
Yeah.
It's full of kids, and football should be welcoming to everyone. Mm. And, you know, you've got to be a genius to realise that if you've got a stadium full of kids who are seeing this as one of the most influential moments of their childhood, it's going to be incredible for the future of the game,
exactly.
for boys and for girls. It's really important. But on the pitch itself, England's first goal was an absolute beauty.
Yeah. to be able to hit that on the bounce, under pressure,
yeah.
with a keeper coming at it, I was just like, Jesus
Christ.
Yeah,
so you've got a defender over the shoulder, keeper coming down there. It's in a final, it's 0-0, and the ball's bouncing. That finish was incredible. And the part you'll struggle to see a better pass than that all season. Like, if someone said to you, that's the best part, that's the pass of the season in May, you couldn't really have any complaints about it. Yeah, I'm sure there will be some other great passes delivered, but that was right up there. And you'll struggle to see a better one all season. Mm. And then the great thing about it was they didn't... obviously, you knew there was going to be a reaction from Germany, but England didn't really let it phase them. And I've watched every game they've played in this tournament. And the exception maybe the first game where they kind of scraped through, they looked in control. And I know they came out slowly in the second half yesterday, and there was a storm that had to be weathered. And part of that, I feel like, was because Germany are a good team. And then I love the fact that to score the winner, it's just this scrappy, just get anything on it, and go on the back of the net. It was like an arrested celebration. She couldn't celebrate for like 5 or 10 seconds because of fucking VAR.
Yeah.
And then she was away. It was brilliant.
By the time it got to about like 20 minutes in the second half, I thought Germany started to lose their legs a little bit, and England had already lost their legs.
But there was a storm to be weathered, wasn't there?
There was definitely.
I really felt that was going to go the other way, actually. I felt England looked the more tired towards the end of the second half. But they found another gear. They found some energy from somewhere. It's a wonderful thing to witness. I wonder if the Spain game actually stood them in good stead, because they were by far the better team in most of the games they played.
Yeah.
But against Spain, they had to really, really dig in and again find that other gear. And I think that set them up to be ready for that.
I still fancied them. I still felt like they were going to beat Spain.
Yeah. But they had to work for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I very much enjoyed Toon and Russo trying to read the German note.
That's great.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And I think that's right. I think you see teams doing that quite a lot. And I completely agree. If that paper is on the pitch, there's nothing in the law that says you can't grab it. Go and get it.
Yeah.
Go and take it off him and rip it and eat it or something.
Eat it.
Yeah, there's nothing to stop you doing that. That's a real kind of grey area in the laws of the game.
Yeah.
That. So have a look at it. But get in there before they can look at it and eat it.
And learn some German.
Yeah.
Crying out loud.
Learn the language of your opponent before every game. Yeah. Do a quick Duolingo.
It could have got a bit Inglorious Bastards and they held up the wrong three. Oh no, we're in the wrong position. They found us out.
I did feel sorry for Pop, because obviously she got injured.
Oh, that's horrendous, wasn't it?
Incredible.
Yeah.
Really cruel, that.
And she'd been very funny with that little moustache joke in the presser before the last match. You see that?
Because
Hansi Flick had said that he'd like to call her up to the men's team, and so she turned up with a mask on. She pulled her mask off. She had a little moustache. going, I am Alexander today.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
German humour.
It was solid stuff. Yeah. It was solid international humour.
Was worried. Was worried when you said moustache. But go on.
Yeah, and going back to the first goal, that amazing pass from Ciara Walsh. I love the quote where she said, I think I just heard her shouting in her little Wigan accent, and I thought, right, I've got to put it on a plate for her.
Yeah. It's a real expression of the togetherness in that team. You can really see it. You just want to be a part of it, don't you? You want to be in the gang.
You could just hear loads of plinks of Baroccas getting dropped into glasses.
Oh, big smile
right now.
I don't know where
they are, but
still on it now.
God, they look like they're all...
I like that part of the upfront episode yesterday was essentially them... one or two of them hanging around looking for the players. They had a room that they're in Box Park, and they were going to go over there and try and join them. They're not going to be in Box Park. They're still in the stadium. They're still on the pitch.
We should say, for the time of recording, it is 10:20 a.m. now, and if I were them, I would be probably just waking up and thinking, right, I've got 10 minutes till the Mackey's breakfast. And then use that to refuel your restart.
Yeah.
If I know you, Vish, there's no way you'd have gone to bed by now.
No, true. Well, don't forget to head across to the Upfront feed right now to Floor, Rachel and Chloe. Episode recorded live after the final, straight from Wembley Way. Just type in Upfront wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to ensure you never miss an episode. So,
yes,
there were other football matches taking place over the weekend. Liverpool beat Man City.
Yeah.
In the old Shield.
It was a really competitive friendly. It was like so intense.
Yeah.
It's always a bit feisty, isn't it?
Because also it wasn't at Wembley. Mm. It was at the King Power. So because you don't have that muscle memory, like, oh, it's the Community Shield, it's at Wembley, so it's basically a friendly. Yeah.
It felt like a Premier League match. I kept getting into the mindset
of a league game.
Or maybe like an FA Cup semi-final from yesteryear.
Where the FA Cup semi-final should have been last year.
Well, Liverpool took the spoils, the illustrious first trophy of the year with two late goals at a very lively King Power Stadium in Leicester. Nunez impressed coming off the bench and winning the penalty for Liverpool's second and scoring the third. He was busy, wasn't he? But was he better than Haaland? That's the narrative. Was he better than Haaland? Did Haaland have a good debut?
People are getting vexed about Haaland's performance. Yeah. I'm not sure why.
He was literally involved in the setup for their goal.
Are journalists out there who should know better, saying that his debut should have been ripped into a million pieces and chucked in the bin and set on fire.
Well, if you take it in isolation for absolutely no reason, then
I thought overall he had a pretty good game. I don't know what you feel like, Vish. I thought he did okay.
Yeah, I thought he. There were times where I was listening to you guys talk about him last week. Is this kind of impending like doom figure who's always on the pitch? He's a bit like, I don't know, like Grendel in Beowulf.
He's like Daniel Day-Lewis in Gangs of New York. When he's not on the screen, you're waiting for him to come back.
Or Omar. But there was an element of like, he looked like, I don't know what it is, maybe the air pressure is different, but there were a few times where it looked like he was struggling to like stay on his feet. Like he couldn't quite get to like, is there something about the altitude at Leicester?
Leicester.
Too low.
He looked quite clumsy at times, and then he starts moving and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
He's like a shark. He has to be moving all the time to be dangerous.
I thought his movement was brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought, and I don't know whether it just stands out because he's so physically big.
Mm.
Like, and you don't perhaps expect movement of that quality from a player so big. But I thought his movement was absolutely fantastic. I thought it was a classic example of if he had his boots on the right feet and he scored two. Everyone will be talking about the best debut ever. It was kind of, I don't know why people kind of want to read into the fact that he didn't score to use that as an excuse to say it wasn't a good debut because I don't feel like that at all. And I also felt like, effectively, because of the rivalry between these two teams and because of the way the game was played, it was essentially a competitive game, even on paper it isn't. Yeah. That's the first competitive game he's played for Man City.
Mm.
And he's playing against the second best team in England and arguably the second best team in Europe. You've got to put it in perspective.
Mm. Yeah. Also playing in a team that have been playing a very, very different system for a couple of seasons.
Mm. Like, without a striker.
Without a focal point in the same way that they're going to have now.
Well, people sort of like, here they talk about his physicality like he's like that big puppet that came to London, Little Amal, the big glass.
That's a random refuge shout. What, for the Jubilee? That's for the Jubilee celebrations.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't
for the Jubilee celebrations. She may have rocked
up. It was Elbow. She came on with Elbow at Glastonbury.
She did everything. She's been all over the gaff.
She's booked and busy. Who's looking after her?
She's booked in business.
Who's doing her booking? I'll tell you what. She probably don't want any of it.
No, exactly. Yeah. Busy. But they talk about his physicality like
Pompey could do
else,
a bit out front, by the way.
But he's 60. Little Amal for Pompey. Yeah. Announced Little Amal.
Yeah.
He only had 16 touches during the match, which is like, that's a Man City striker, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
That's all you're going to get.
Should be 16 goals, mate, if the money's on.
That's a good point. I like that, Jim.
There was
the one thing I did think, though, is when you looked at how they played yesterday and his movement, you can tell why it was probably a good thing that they moved on Raheem Sterling in that there's now so much more space for him to float into.
Yeah, like,
right.
They would have definitely treaded on each other's toes. And if you think the way that they're going to learn to play with someone like Haaland, you think someone like, they started with Grealish and Mahrez yesterday. Foden is going to love that. I think they're all going to thrive around him. And it might even be the case that, like, I don't know, let's say by March, he's only got 10 league goals. And let's say he might have 10 in other competitions. But he would have had such a profound effect on everyone around him just because his engine as well is remarkable.
Yeah, and his pace as well, his top speed is really good. His acceleration is pretty good. I also think, speaking of the amount of goals he's going to score, I'll put my neck on the line and say, how good do you honestly think that, say, half the Premier League are defensively compared to Liverpool?
Compared to essentially Virgil van Dijk, which is really who he's kind of in a bit of a one-on-one tussle with there.
Yeah.
You're starting with the end boss, really.
Exactly. If you were going to create someone to combat, the threat of Erling Haaland, it would be Van Dijk.
Exactly,
I said it last week, like, he is Godzilla and the bottom half of the Premier League are very much Japan.
So and Van Dijk is Mothra.
Yeah.
If you think that he's not going to score many goals, his first few matches are going to be West Ham, Bournemouth, Newcastle, A weird Barcelona friendly. Crystal Palace, Nottingham Forest. That's his August.
He's so, got a...
Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah. I can see a situation...
He's based on the massive plant in Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah. I can see a situation where he doesn't score until Barcelona. He gets like 4 or 5.
Yeah,
like
it's... exactly. Yeah,
he's definitely got a 4-goal game in him, doesn't he?
Yeah,
oh, big
very
time.
Much
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
And
big
Man
time.
City, you've got a 10-goal game. Yeah. I think it's fair to say. But Man City's other forward addition, Julian Alvarez, did manage to score on his debut, yeah. But the moment was spoiled a little
wasn't
bit.
Wasn't very happy, was he?
He could have. Was there a VAR question? Yes, there was.
Yeah, there
a
was,
VAR
there
check,
was,
wasn't
yeah.
there? And he was over at the touchline with Pep getting shouted at and he couldn't enjoy it. He couldn't enjoy his debut goal. It's so depressing.
The thing, maybe
he would have thought of that like the night before, going, I hope I score. That'd be so much fun.
Maybe the key to Guardiola's success is this, the unpredictability of his reactions.
Mm.
Like, Alvarez probably went over there and thought, oh, I just get a little rougher from the boss till we start the play again. Not a chance.
Quick one for Jim, moving away from this particular match. Elsewhere on the friendly circuit, Unai Emery was just giving it the old Stone Cold Steve Austin middle finger to TikTok.
Fair play to him as well.
Right, okay.
People just having a dig at him right in his face, pointing a camera at him.
Saying, will you say good evening and you had a good time at Arsenal?
Yeah, just being just disingenuous little pricks. And
yeah.
Good
he's
on you,
done well. He's done well not to slap them.
the thing, I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
And I think that it never fails to make me laugh how football fans can just dish out the most outrageous abuse.
Mm. And then, like,
and then
oh,
someone flicks you the middle finger, you're like, oh, I'm going to shut on the internet with that. and then under
no kids here.
Always say that. Cheers, kids crying.
Yeah.
And under the video, the original posting of the video on Twitter, which we all saw, there's like an endless debate about whether Emery meant to be slagging off Arsenal or not. And it's like, what are you doing with your life?
I saw one just said true colours.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oh, it's lovely stuff. It really is.
There was no suggestion that he was anything to do with Arsenal. He was just getting pissed off at people.
Is it just someone in his face while he's focused on Villarreal?
I have to struggle to not permanently have both my middle fingers up whenever I'm in Southampton. So I totally understand.
Well, elsewhere, Cristiano Ronaldo featured for the first time in pre-season yesterday, playing for the first 45 minutes in Man United's friendly against Rayo Vallecano.
Vish.
Didn't hang around very long though. He just left at half time. See you later. I'm glad this is rolling on.
I like the way he tweeted that the king was making a return. And he should have also got a bit.
The king has another
long.
Engagement.
Yeah.
King's got to be elsewhere.
King has returned. It's very much King Charles and after the English Civil War. I better get out of here before they execute me.
Honestly, it's so pathetic.
Do you know what I feel for? Poor old Diogo Dalo getting caught in the background of the photo.
The great thing about when you read through the news stories about that, I mean, it's a pretty self-explanatory news story, but Dalo is like right at the bottom.
Right.
Diogo Dalo was also with him.
Yeah.
So, the fact that Manchester United club officials couldn't say for certain whether he was allowed to leave early or not suggests that he wasn't.
Fair.
And it's... I honestly just find it a little bit funny. I mean, it's incredibly annoying. It's all quite pathetic, but it's a great example of how far United have fallen as a club, whereby there were genuinely people on Twitter defending it as if like they were privy to his schedule. Like, he had to leave. Have you seen traffic outside of Old Trafford?
Do you know what I'd have said if I was Man United? We actually asked him to leave because unacceptable behaviour. Just take the power back.
Because he is stupid and smelly.
Is Dalo trying to be a little sidekick?
Dalo is just by virtue of the fact of being caught in the background, this is very much like the Richard Hammond to Cristiano Ronaldo's Jeremy Clarkson.
Yeah.
I thought in a way that
who's James May?
James May,
Luke Shaw,
McTominay.
McTominay.
Yes. In terms of like reclaiming control of the narrative, it would be great if we asked him to leave. We had to get Diogo Dalo to escort him out.
Yeah, exactly. Diogo Dalo's the only man he respects.
Yeah. Vish, still good news about Benny McCarthy, though. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's quite sweet, actually.
Yeah. He's quite
lovely. He is a United fan, and he looked proud as punch.
Yeah.
He didn't know that he was walking into an absolute shit show, but he looked happy, didn't he?
One less strike at the teacher. Yeah. Just an interesting appointment I did not see coming at all.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't really know too much about his badges. I know he was doing some stuff at Ajax of Cape Town.
He's got his UEFA badges.
And you always got to check with United people. You never know. but that was actually quite sweet.
Is it kind of the best thing in the world when Man United went website lead with Ten Hag explains McCarthy appointment. Like there's some kind of explanation needed. Yeah. But if you hire someone and there has to be an instant explanation, I'm not saying he's not good. I don't know anything about his coaching credentials. I'm sure he's brilliant. It just shows you how much on the back foot Man United are all the time.
Yeah, there's a better way of headlining that article, isn't there? You know, Ten Hag talks about McCarthy appointment.
Yeah, actually, that's the lens they're under, though, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's not a hard thing to get right.
Exactly. But most clubs wouldn't be under that sort of scrutiny, so it creates the illusion of them being on the back foot, right?
They could be on the same team and act like a group and just say, Ten Hag delighted with McCarthy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ten Hag defends McCarthy appointment.
But even the sub-editors are just beleaguered. Yeah. Just constantly defensive.
Oh, Ten Hag promises he'll never do it again.
Right, we'll be back on the Football Ramble with the very best of the Football League, which kicked off on Friday.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Major problems with it. For me, looking at that video, that cat hadn't done anything wrong.
I forgot about that.
Different time. Yeah. Before we get into the second half of the show, we have an important meowsage regarding our brand new Patreon offering. If you don't know already, our Patreon is the place where you can help us make the show we love while getting amazing benefits and behind-the-scenes ramble access. So this season, for just $5 a month, we're now offering you ad-free ramble shows. That's every show in the Ramble universe without any adverts for just $5 a month. In addition to that, you'll still have access to our beautiful, crazy Discord community where you can chat to us and fellow listeners, and you'll also get a weekly bonus episode on your podcast app every single Sunday. For $10 a month, you'll get all that plus a video version of every Monday Ramble delivered straight to your inbox, early access to Ramble merch, updates, and early access to live events, and you'll also be invited to exclusive Friend of the Ramble quarterly live events that are only available to Patreonist subscribers at this tier. The first one will be coming at you at the start of September, so stay tuned. You can meet the Benny McCarthy of the Football Ramble setup. Vish
is doing karaoke. It's a karaoke.
Vishy-okey.
It's like Barry from EastEnders. Yes. Vish is doing that.
I've only gone karaoke once, and I did Return of the Mac.
Nice.
Oh, nice. And I got standing ovation.
Oh, nice.
Standing ovation. Everyone in the train carriage applauded.
And everyone cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers. Kids crying. Cheers. Mark Morrison's crying.
Our wonderful Patreon people mean so much to us. So why don't you join them and receive loads of extra benefits while offering some support to your friends at the Ramble in the process. Hit up the link in the show description or get yourself to patreon.com/footballramble to sign up. So into the Football League. Huddersfield and Burnley kicked off the Championship season on Friday night. Ian Mattson goal was enough to secure a 1-0 win for Burnley. It was quite interesting.
This is fucking great. I'll tell you why.
Is it great?
Sorry to cut in, Peter.
Is it great? Is it upsetting?
The reason this is great is because you wait all summer for football comeback. It's Friday night. They do that a week early, so yeah, for lots of reasons. But one of the reasons is Championship gets a little bit of room to breathe.
Yeah.
Everyone can look forward to it. Mm-hmm. Sit down in front of the telly. As Graham Taylor would say, put your feet up in front of the telly and have a good time. The late, great Graham Taylor. And Huddersfield fans booed their team off at half time. 45 minutes into the season. Fucking boo! Boo! I've waited all summer for this crap. Boo!
But even then, it's not even that long. They're in the playoff final.
I mean, and you're playing a team.
That's the shortest possible gap. The shortest possible window between deciding whether or not you're going to boo your team. Like, no, I've seen enough.
Yeah. But you're playing against a team like Burnley. They've got six debuts in their squad, and that always creates quite a difficult atmosphere for any team, and yet they just could not find a way to not even through. They just didn't have any chances.
If I'm being kind of fairer to Huddersfield fans, and I don't really have any real motivation to do that, but if I was going to do
they don't have a striker and don't have anyone who to create chances.
But they've got Danny Ward, he's been there for a while. But I was going to say, maybe they were probably, it was a bit of sophistry, they're actually booing the fact that their manager, who's done a brilliant job, actually left. And so now they feel a little bit rudderless. But a friend of mine, Adam, who runs The Offensive, another Stack podcast, is a big Huddersfield Town fan.
Yeah.
And he was doing a live YouTube thing for Huddersfield fans yesterday. He was on there for like 3 hours. I was like, what have you got to talk about? It's only one game this season. What the hell are you talking about on there? Like, you've had one game, you lost at home. Are people venting that much already? Basically, the game was played in July. And it's going to be a long season if they're not careful. But I don't think you can read too much into it because it's the first game of the season and all the rest of it. I kind of understand that.
Two shots all game.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not ideal.
It wasn't a great advert for the Championship. But Vinnie Kompany and Craig Bellamy, the old dream team that we talked about on Friday, starting off with a win. And I wonder whether you can read this much into it. But I can certainly see how the Kompany appointment could go either way. And it could be a situation where he just holds them up to such a high standard because of the type of character he is.
Yeah.
And they've got, and because they're so used to playing at a higher level, I know a lot of the players are left, but they have got players in there who've used to playing at a higher level. That might be enough for them to really challenge this season. Or it goes badly for a couple of games and then we see what the reaction is and Craig Bellamy starts getting the golf clubs out, you know. So we'll have to see what happens. But I did watch most of this game. I didn't boo at half time because I don't really care about either team. I don't think the game was so bad it made me want to boo. I don't know what you guys felt.
Could you imagine you get to a point though, you have had a bad result, you turn up to training, Bellamy's there just practicing his putting. This is ominous.
And there's little ball returners.
Yeah.
But I mean, 70% possession, 16 shots on goal. I mean, that's a great day at the office for your opening day of the season with 6 debutants. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, it's also a very, very different style implemented immediately, which is really, really impressive. Yeah.
I think they, in that game of, so they completed about 507 passes on Friday night.
About 507, roughly.
Can you be more specific, please?
Well, I was going to go for 500, but I know it was in excess of 500, and it is 507, so it's loaded up.
You've embarrassed yourself there, because it's actually 599 passes, of which 506 were completed.
506? Yeah. Right.
So that's from Opta, so do you want to take them on?
Okay, so that many completed passes, apparently it was 7% of the total completed passes last season.
Wow, really?
So
wow.
It's a real kind of about, you know, real shift. And obviously they're playing in the Premier League and they have to, you know, they've deliberately chosen to play a different way to survive there.
Yeah.
But this feels like the start of something new for Burnley.
Would you say there's anything glamorous about Huddersfield v Burnley? Because Sky Sports tried to make it glamorous by saying, this is the team that beat in the playoff final last season, this is the team who got relegated from the Premier League.
Yeah.
But I got the impression that people just weren't really having it.
Almost, every Friday night though, I'm slamming at the Prosecco. So I think it is fancy. I think it is fancy. Yeah, I've got a top hat on.
You've been laughing and loving, aren't you?
If someone told me that was a rugby league game, I would believe them.
Yeah.
Like from that neck of the woods.
From watching from the game?
Just from the title.
It's easy to be, you know, snide about this sort of thing.
I know, that's why we're doing it.
Yeah, I know, but like. But it is a big game, you know. It is,
of course.
Yeah, I know.
The team that really, really, you know, came very close to coming up, very impressively and a team that have come out of the Premier League with big Vinnie Kompany. So you know,
I like doing this kind of stuff because if it's three of us are southerners here and Pete hears it, he has to defend it from the northerner point of view, or he gets a load of stick.
Yeah, but I'm horsing today, so I've got admin in my head. Mm-hmm. can't be bothered. I'm mostly concentrating on Sunderland returning to the Championship. They took on Coventry. They drew 1-1 on their return. I mean Coventry hoping to get up to the Premier League, just like Nottingham Forest, to remind us what the 90s were like. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be great. Do you see our listener, by the way, I don't think this is his real name,
yeah,
but he lists himself as Vermilion Dynamite.
Let's really hope it's his real name.
He pointed out the noise that the...
You want to hear it?
Oh, you got it there, great, okay.
Here we go.
Oh, the noise of the ball hitting the back of the
net. It sounds a bit like an apple being eaten.
It almost sounds like a squelch.
Do it again. Do it again. It does. It's a bit like your dog eating a carrot.
It's a little bit.
It's a bit like a crisp.
Yeah.
But it's a great noise to hear. So satisfying.
It's like a chain. It's like a chain net basketball hoop.
Yeah, it is a bit like that as well. So when you see a goal, when you see a goal go in, are you happier with it staying in the net or flying back out again?
Flying back out is such a rarity. I love that.
It just means the goal doesn't exist.
Yeah.
What about a chain net in football? That'd be great.
Imagine like players getting caught in it.
True, probably quite dangerous.
We'd have to free them.
It might be a reason we don't have that.
Yeah, but that guy with the old clippers doing that really funny face. Yeah. You can use him every week. That'd be amazing.
Well, down in League One. Do you like how I say down in League One? Yeah, good. There was a goal fest at Hillsborough. Sheffield Wednesday drew 3-3 with Lukey Moore's Portsmouth. I mean, second half, 5 goals. Luke, that is worth the admission fee alone.
I remember what I watched the highlights of this. I didn't see the game live, but I watched the highlights. I just remember thinking, why are we never in control of anything? Why are we never in control of anything that happens?
Because you sign a new goalkeeper every year.
Yeah, that's also, well, yeah.
I mean, 60% of the goals for both sides, I think, were just poor goalkeeping.
Well,
I think there was a lot of ones that shouldn't really.
I think that was the Portsmouth keepers. We got a new keeper on the line from West Brom to replace the player of the season. He went to Southampton this summer, which is, which stings a bit, to say the least. And he probably definitely at fault for one of the goals. Yeah. One of them was an absolute banger from Sheffield Wednesday. And I think on paper, you look at that and you go, Sheffield Wednesday are better than Pompey, probably. And we're away from home as they opened out the season. We'll take a draw. Also, this is the thing that will interest Jim, who's famously into headers. There's always seems to be so many headers involved in Portsmouth games.
Nice.
So you might have a look at that.
Yeah.
Colby Bishop's goal was a beautiful header.
Great goal.
He doesn't have his picture on the website, I noticed. That's funny. Literally playing number 9.
The Portsmouth Football Club is like a service station on the motorway.
Next to a sex shop.
People go. And the fuel and everything's expensive.
Yeah, the anonymity of the motorway. Yeah. Just come in and ship out. Did you see the Leighton Orient Tom James goal?
What a goal.
Gorgeous.
Absolutely bad. He just got a new 2-year contract, so just need to do that every week.
Or just the same money.
Yeah.
Just the same money every week.
Banners, yeah.
And speaking of amazing goals, I mean, the one that stood out for me, I mean, the goal in the Sheffield Wednesday Pompey game was brilliant. That goal at Leighton Orient was brilliant. Mm. There was a goal in the Blackburn game as well. I'm just trying to remember who scored it. It was an absolute beauty to beat Queen's Park Rangers. I think it was Lewis Travis. Mm. That was one worth seeking out as well. So, there's a load of great stuff to enjoy in the Football League this weekend.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you've got Lee Tomlin sending off for Doncaster when he received two yellow cards in the space of 20 seconds. It's just good. What a way to start the season.
I love the fact.
So it's just a one, technically.
For those who didn't see it, he stands right over a free kick to stop the other team taking it and gets a yellow for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kicks the ball away. And then another player comes over, an opposition player comes over to try and kind of remonstrate with him, and he throws himself on the floor. And he's massive as well, which makes it funny. Yeah.
And the player just lightly touches him.
Yeah.
And it's one of those classics, goes down like...
And the ref gives him another yellow, and it's like... And he gets sent off, obviously, and he's sat on the floor looking sad. And everyone is applauding. I wouldn't be surprised if even his own teammates were going, that shit was unacceptable.
Yeah.
Everyone's really like, the referee's done the right thing. It's a great thing.
He had that footballer belief that because he got a yellow card for something, quite petty, that he almost has like
a free space.
Immunity
space.
For yes. like 30 Safe. Seconds yeah. and I keep being petted.
It's amazing. If you were trying to deliberately get sent off, I don't think you could pull it off as like masterfully as that.
Yeah, because it was actually quite a safe way of, you haven't endangered anyone around you, but you have deserved that red card.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, he's even got away with kicking the ball away the second time. Like, he's got a little bonus one in there. Well, especially, he's tested the referee and then done it again.
Well, especially the referee was tested later in the game because Doncaster Liam Ravenhill broke Emmanuel Osadebe's leg. It's 6 minutes in with a horrible tackle. Only got yellow. Yeah. Broke his fucking leg. Oh, what start of the season?
That's the Football League for you.
Get well soon.
And there was also a Bradford player sent off at the end as well. Came on and then got sent off. Little cameo. Referees had a busy day.
Busy day. It's like, God.
Do you go home satisfied with your work?
I just think if you
at the end of that as a ref.
I just think that if you are doing that in a game where one of the teams is managed by Mark Hughes, you're quite brave.
I think so. Elsewhere, we had Stockport County losing 3-2 to Barrow at home on their first return to the Football League in 11 years. But that's not what we want to talk about. We want to talk about the team having a curry at a local curry house, because the sponsors of the club is a curry house, and it's basically changed the entire menu to Stockport County legend player themed dishes, effectively. It's very
is that going to get people in?
What? The big Kev Karachi Gosht? Kevin
after,
Francis?
After Kevin, big, Kevin, after Francis, Kevin Francis. What a yeah, player, by the way. Yeah. I don't know.
The Jennings Gel Frazee.
I'm trying to get into why they've done that.
Yeah.
What's the benefit of that? For people like us to talk about it,
the problem is, unless you really, really know Stockport County, they've kind of like, their menus are quite confusing as to who they're talking about. It's the Jennings Gel Frazee. Things can get spicy when Connor and James are on the pitch, but they are both hugely popular. Just like our medium hot Gel Frazee.
Because you have to do an explainer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Every single player, you have to do an explainer.
Yeah. Also, and popular.
Yeah. It's
the headline in the Sun article about this, Ticker Bow.
There's one one that stood out for me was the one called the Paddy Padina, right?
Right.
Not explained which paddy it's named after, and just ends up by saying this is cooked with a tender lamb. It's like, what message are you trying to send here? Like, what if you're whoever this paddy,
paddy tender?
Is, what does this mean about paddy?
I don't know.
Lamb.
And I also wouldn't be that happy if I was the Ben named after the Ben Bazaar platter, because that implies that I'm really fat. Oh, you're having a platter after me, are you? Yeah. You're having a whole platter after
just
me, are you?
Just offcuts and bits and bobs, unbelievable. One Stockport County fan, Callum Taylor, has had a bit of a stinker, to be honest, because he was on holiday in Zante. He got a tattoo in homage to his favourite Stockport player with the words, Super Sammy Minahan, and he left 3 days later. He just left the club 3 days later. Callum maintains that Super Sammy is a legend, actually, and he has plans to get an additional tattoo of his autograph underneath.
He's doubled down on that.
It's the better of the two options, really, isn't it?
It's like, no, I wanted to do it anyway. And he was leaving,
It was about commemorating his time at the club, not his future.
I already now support Halifax Town. So better for me.
It's a little bit.
Some young kids, like online, they do support players rather than teams. So maybe he's a bit of a Sammy Minahan guy.
It's like the, remember the Andy Cole tattoo? Just like days before he left, that bloke had a massive picture of Andy Cole tattooed on his leg.
There's also a great genre of tragic male tattoos where they get a tournament victory tattoo before.
Oh, that's lovely stuff. Like they played in it.
And but
before it happens.
Yeah.
I think they do that for the media attention.
Yeah.
You know, you won't believe. No, we do. People are fucking idiots. We do believe it.
What are you like? Well done.
I might be misremembering this, but the bizarrest version of that was about 15 years, maybe about 10, 15 years ago, where I'm pretty sure a British guy, that's Grimsby or something, got like a Kaká World Player of the Year tattoo before he got it. And it's like,
What is that?
What's the jeopardy for there?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand what you're possibly getting out of that, right? Because obviously Kaká's a brilliant player. Obviously, he won a load of stuff, but even when he gets the honour he gets, what is the relevance to that?
He's a man in his own shed playing Pinfinger.
No one's watching.
No one's watching.
You're not even live streaming it.
I might get a September Goal of the Month winner tattoo. really into it. Yeah.
Who you backing?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm gonna back
Haaland, obviously.
No, because he won't be gold. I'm gonna back Bernardo Silva. Cutting and banging.
Right. So now. You're predicting Bernardo Silva to win a Goal of the Month competition in September. Why have you not gone for August out of interest?
because it gives them a bit of time to warm up.
Because maybe not on fire.
Yeah. Also, well, you know, it's quite hard to book a tattooist sometimes, isn't it? You've got to give them a little bit of notice.
That is. That's why I did it.
I also just want to bring to the table, in case it gets forgotten, that our friend Josh Morris, listener to the show, said that Thierry Henry had some real Pete Donaldson vibes this weekend when he walked out into the Red Bull Arena ahead of New York Red Bulls friendly with Barcelona in a half and half kit.
It's lovely
is
stuff.
Is he having a breakdown?
Well, Marcus has pointed out that he thinks he's a bit of a prick.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm not sure if he said prick or tit or something a little bit more kind of lightly.
Well, he's known
insulting.
As TT.
Yeah, right. So maybe that works. But that's not great evidence to the contrary, is it?
No, but
you're a man who's done this in the cauldron atmosphere of Glasgow. So
unless he's doing it in a Glasgow changing room with a needle and thread that he's bought from a service station, I just don't think it's...
We did a live show in Glasgow, Vish, and Pete spent the whole entirety of us in the dressing room prepping doing that to the point where he forgot all his notes for the show itself. Had to run off the stage and go back into the dressing room to try and find them after almost getting lynched by wearing that kit.
And you were looking at my notes.
I was. there was a bit when you came out in the Rangers Celtic half and half kit that you had rudimentarily stitched together in a thread with a thread, where some of the crowd were like, this is funny. And they were very much the people who come travel to Glasgow for the show.
Yeah. Yes.
The rest of them were going, oh, no.
Yeah.
What's he done there?
And we came out for the second half and there were shots of whiskey just on our desks.
Yeah.
Someone had left there.
And a bullet on Pete.
Well, I think that sooner or later, everyone looks like Pete Donaldson. I think this is just Thierry Henry experiencing that.
Yeah.
Indeed. Should we finish the show with an email?
Yeah,
Jim,
why not?
You got one?
I do have an email. Yeah, just let me shuffle around in the email bag. Got one from John in North Carolina, which is following on from Alexander Lacazette's run-in with some wasps in a forest. John says, I've recently had a few run-ins with wasps, so I thought I'd weigh in.
Nice.
I'm not a medical expert. Don't let that stop you emailing in future, anyone, by the way. But 10 wasp stings can be trouble. On a walk last summer, I was stung 7 or 8 times by yellow jackets and proceeded to have a moderate anaphylactic reaction, which I had never had before. My face swelled, it was hard to swallow, and every single follicle of hair on my body itched excruciatingly, leading me to strip naked and lie in a cold stream along a well-travelled trail for about 10 minutes because my crotch was on fire.
This sounds like an explanation on the witness stand.
Right, yeah. Perhaps Lacazette couldn't keep from itching his bathing suit area. Then again, my friend was stung 23 times in the same incident and had no reaction aside from large welts, so I clearly have some sensitivity that he doesn't. More recently, I was stung twice by a different species of wasp, and although I now have an EpiPen, nothing much happened. I'm not sure what the lesson is here, except that wasps work in mysterious ways.
Why?
We all knew that. What? Vindictive bastards, we know that.
Yeah. Why is he hanging around with wasps so much?
The problem you find when you leave the UK and you start walking out in trails in different countries is actually like quite interesting and dangerous animals. Doesn't really happen here. But on Friday I said, I'm not sure 10 wasp stings crosses the threshold for an injury for a professional athlete. And that night I was bitten 6 times in my sleep by mosquitoes.
Were you?
I just had the window open.
Where were probably you?
Where?
Probably the same mosquito. I was with John in North Carolina. We were both naked in the stream.
London mosquitoes lying on a crocodile in a swamp. What's going on?
The insect community were punishing me for that take.
Yeah.
But Vish, you went on that show on Friday. Do you think that if a professional athlete who's got... I did caveat it by saying no known allergic reaction, got stung 10 times. Is that fair enough to be injured?
Depends where they stung him.
Very painful.
They stung him on his face.
I told you, if it's on every toe, it's fair enough.
One each.
But no, if it was on his face, I can get that. I can understand that. When was the last time I was stung? I think the last time I was stung was 2018.
Right, okay.
And I reacted quite calmly to it, whereas I think if I'd been stung as a youngster more often, I would have been terrified.
Oh, right, that's the first time you'd ever been stung?
Yeah, I think so.
That's, you've done pretty well to get to 2018.
I was stung on the waltzes. What's that doing?
Yeah.
What's
Jim, absolute thrill seeker.
I know, right? He's like the kind of Bear Grylls of wasps.
To be fair to the wasp, he was quite dizzy, didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah.
He could have stung anyone. Jim, you must have a hapless story about being stung by something.
I've been stung by a wasp in the past when I was a little kid. It wasn't particularly hapless, though. I remember just looking down at my. I was young enough that I was just like, I had no top on, just out in the sunshine, glorious days. Yeah, and it was just
England
like,
playing,
I just saw it stinging me. I was like, oh, there's a wasp stinging me right now. That's annoying.
That's quite tough from you.
Yeah, I've seen a wasp kill itself.
Or sting itself?
Yeah. It was horrible. My dad sprayed it with Raid and it bent double and stuck itself. We were both like, oh my God.
The dying didn't happen because it stung itself, Jim. You were spraying with Raid.
Yeah, but
it kills wasps.
But it bent over and stuck its own stinger into itself.
Yeah, the wasp was like, I'm not having this. I'll go up my own.
Yeah.
What's shutting me down on my reaction to the poison? Let's kill myself.
Yeah, I like the idea of the wasp taking it into its own hands. I also think that kind of thing, when you see that, is evidence for the fact that we're living in a simulation. Sometimes things just don't stop. Like I remember being at a music festival quite early one morning and seeing a seagull just stop in midair,
right,
for like 5 seconds and then carry on again. Simulation.
You were in a music festival.
Yeah.
Early in the morning.
Early in the morning.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I see where you're going with this. That's unfair. My first memories. My first ever memory is me being stung on the hand by a bee.
Mm. Well. Look, have you ever been stung by more than 10 creatures?
Yeah.
Or is Luca Kena? Shortfootballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble.
That mutually exclusive.
What a wonderful start of the season. We should play all international tournaments like on the lip of the start of the conventional season.
We do.
I'm loving it.
We do, don't we?
Not really.
Kind of.
Not really. Thanks for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll be back on Wednesday with an episode of the Football Ramble's Guide 2. Say goodbye, everybody, starting with you, Lukey.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Jim.
Right.
Vish.
Bye.
Farewell.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.